Well, good morning, church. How y'all doing today? Come on, let's give God a great big hand. So excited to be with you. Yeah, fresh start. Come on, somebody. How many of y'all are excited about a fresh start with Jesus? Come on, somebody. Yeah, fresh start requires a new perspective. Just recently, my wife Natalie and I, we went to a high school musical. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, whenever you go to a high school musical, you're not quite sure what you're going to find. Now, what happened was, partly because of we've been to high school musicals before, okay, and then somebody told us about this specific musical, and they were like, this is not good, it's going to be a train wreck, they were telling us all this stuff. So we went in with very low expectations. We still went, we attended. And we sat there, and then halfway through the first act, and I remember I looked at Natalie, and I said, this is pretty good. And I was like, this isn't bad at all. And it shocked me because I had a perspective of the way things should be, partly because of my own experience, partly because of what other people have said, and it created a mindset in me that needed to be adjusted. We do the same thing with church. We listen to what other people say about the church. Then we have some of our own experiences. And we form mindsets that this is what I'm going to find. And then doesn't it irritate you when you don't find that? You find really genuine, nice people, and then you meet a guy like Pastor Nick and Rachel, and they're like genuinely nice people and great people who love God and love people. And it's just, but see, we all have mindsets and perspectives that need to be changed. A fresh start with church. Today is all about just looking at Jesus' church through a different set of eyes to get a fresh start. In Isaiah 43, there's a couple words here I want to start off with today. And that's this, don't remember the former things. So today we got to put away the former things. And don't consider the things of old. Now, you know that this is written to those who are old. Yeah, don't think about the things of old here. Behold, I do a
new thing.
What's God doing?
New thing.
That's right, he's doing a new thing. And it's not time to pull back, it's time to step forward. Because God wants to change our perspective. God wants to give us a new perspective about church, about one another here. Philippians chapter 1, 6. The Apostle Paul is writing in the New Testament here. And he says, I am certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue this work until it's finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. Now, many of us read this, and we put that you as singular me. God has begun a good work in you, and he'll finish what you, he did in you, and he's going to finish you personally. I want to let you know that this you isn't just written to you as a person, it's written to usins. Yins, if that speaks your language here. Yeah. I think if the Apostle Paul was writing to Pittsburghians, that's what he would say. Come on, somebody. But he who began a good work within you is plural. Because in a couple verses before this, it's written to God's holy people. Where are God's holy people? No, where are they? Yeah, you. Yeah, nudge your neighbors. He's talking about you. Yeah, come on. Yeah, you, God who began a good work in all of you, he's going to be faithful to complete what he started in all of you. That's the point here. His holy people. Unfortunately, fresh starts are hard to come by when it comes to church because we have perspectives. We have to unlearn the past to step into our future. So here's the big idea today. Now, people always say, Pastor, what's the big idea about this big idea? The big idea is written so that you have something to say when people say, what was church about today? And it's to boil it down and give you something very specific that you can remember. And it's a kind of an outline that I'm going to follow as I go through here. So the big idea for today is this. A fresh start is being together as a church. Now say, God's plan is messy and a choice. Yeah, yeah. See, being together in church, it's God's plan. This isn't my plan. This isn't Pastor Nick's plan. This wasn't like the elders and the leaders of the church said, you know, let's think of something to occupy Sunday morning. Right. Man, if we could just occupy Sunday morning, everything would be good. Right. No, it's God's plan. And I want to let you know, this whole thing's messy. But it's a choice to get involved. That's what it is. See, many of us, we come to church with a mindset that this is a lecture. This is a lecture. This is school. You're going to listen to the lecture. You're going to be very kind, and you're going to go home. Other people, it's like a movie. You want to be entertained. You want to forget about life for a couple minutes. Entertain me, and then everything's good. And then others, it's like a living room. I just want to come someplace and be comfortable. I mean, I just want to go somewhere where the power is on. Come on, somebody. We have different mindsets that we have to give up, that we have to push aside to get to what God wants us to understand. So I'm going to go to Hebrews, which is in the New Testament, towards the end of the Bible here. And the writer of Hebrews is talking about church. He's talking about God's people here. So let's look at what it communicates. Let us. Who let? Us, yeah, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted. Now, right there's a word for some people in the room right now. I want to let you know God can be trusted. You still have to stay for the rest. To keep his promise, let us think of ways to motivate one another. Yeah, to acts of love and good works, and let not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that his return is drawing near. Remember we said Jesus is going to, he started something. He's going to finish it until he comes back, right? Yeah, he's going to finish it. And here it's saying, listen, this is how long you got to do it until Jesus comes back. Okay, so together is God's plan. It's God's plan for us to get together. I love what our founding pastor communicates about church. Now, many of us, we go to church and we say, this is my church. This is my church. That, I say that sometimes too. I feel good. This is my church. And I love what he says. He says, it's not your church, it's Jesus' church. Because the only way you get one, you have to give your life for it, be dead, buried, rise again 3 days later, and ascend to heaven, then you can have one. How many of you glad it's Jesus' church? Come on. Yeah, it's Jesus' church, right? So it's God's plan. But do you know what we get here? We get accountability to our pursuit of God. We don't get accountability to the rules, and we have rules around here. We got lots of rules, and if you don't obey the rules, God's going to get you, and if he don't get you, we will. No, it's an accountability of our pursuit of God. That means together we're going to pursue God together and find out what he wants. And this is the next one. Christianity is a group project. Now, when I say group project, some of you just had flashbacks to high school. Some of you just like, because there's two groups that participate with group projects. There's the people in the group that do all the work. Where are you? Come on, this is your chance, right? Natalie's first. Come on, raise your hand. Come on, if you were the one who did all the work, and you raise your hand, this is your chance. This is your chance to be noticed. And you were in church, so God's watching. God's watching. There, thank you. Yeah. Yeah. So group projects, there's certain people that do all the work. Then there's other people that let those people do all the work. Where are you at now? Come on, somebody. Yeah. Come on. Yeah, I mean, the first thing I did, the teacher said, group project. And I started looking around. Where's the smart people at? Even if I didn't talk to him all semester, I'm like, hey, how you doing? Yeah, I haven't seen you in a while. What's going on? Yeah. So group projects bring back a lot of issues. We all have a way to think about them. But Christianity really is a group project that we do all together. It's not an individual thing that we have and that we do. It's together here. Now, together, it's God's plan, because he said, like, let us not neglect and let us do these things and let us motivate. It's God's plan here. But I don't know if you notice or not, together is messy. It's messy. Relationships are messy. And there are many people in the room right now that you've been hurt by church. You've been hurt maybe by a pastor or a church, or maybe somebody in a church that hurts you. I'm not saying that didn't happen. Can't go back and say, oh, no, it didn't happen. No, you know, it hurts. But let me try to get you healed. We only know that you're healed when you're willing to risk being hurt again. You can tell you're really healed when you're willing to be hurt again. This works in every aspect of life. Natalie and I, in our relationship, I can tell that like offenses happen. And I can tell that I'm willing to move forward. I'm just going to blame me. I'm willing to move forward when I'm willing to be hurt again. Because the moment you say, that's never going to happen to me again. I'm never going to trust God. I'm never going to trust the church. Never going to go there again. I trusted. I gave money. And then they just, this happened and that happened. I can't change your yesterdays. But I know this, is that God wants us healed to the point where we're willing to move forward beyond our hurts. And we all have them. Right. I've been at this a long time. Hurts happen. Right. Now, how many of you have been a part of the church in the last 6 months? 6 months. The last 6 months you start coming. Very good. Raise your hand. Yeah, good. Good deal. Now I want to speak to you for a moment because I want to communicate to you. And something I make this promise to everybody. If you hang out here at this church, I will offend you. And if I don't, Pastor Nick will. No, it's going to happen. Not if, when. Together is messy. So it's not a matter of if something happens. It's a matter of when it happens. What are we going to do with it? Because we got to decide how we're going to handle it. I am going to offend you. Whether it's by on purpose or accident, it makes no difference. It's going to happen. And we get let down, don't we? But we don't apply the same principle to Jesus' church as we do to other areas of our life. How many of you are Steeler fans? Pirate fans? Penguins? Have they ever let you down? But you keep going back. But the moment church goes a little too long, the moment you don't get what you want, or the moment you don't think it's the way, we pack up and we run. Yeah. We have Pitt football tickets. Sometimes I question if I love myself. I really do. Every year I get my hopes up. This is the year. This is going to be good. I go down to Acrisure Stadium with a couple thousand people. And some of you will get that later. And we cheer and we yell and we sing and we do all this stuff. And then I just, bam. And every year, I say, this year's going to be different. See, I'm willing to keep believing there, but I'm not willing to keep believing with Jesus' church. And what I'm saying to you today, if we want a fresh perspective with Jesus' church, we're going to have to be willing to say, it's messy, but it's God's plan, and I need this. Because Friendships are good, but fellowship is a Jesus word. Fellowship means our lives are intertwined together. Friendships are good. We all need friendships, right? But we need fellowship, our lives intertwined together for a greater purpose. And I need a group of people that are not willing to allow me to be average. No, I need a group of people that aren't willing to let me just be average, allow me to sit back, allow me to rest on yesterday or last week or yet last year. I need people who are willing to nudge me forward. How about you? Yeah, we need people to irritate us. You came to the right place. Together is a choice. We have to choose to motivate. We have to choose not to neglect. We have to choose to encourage one another. We have to choose. So it's God's plan. Everybody say, God's plan. God's plan. Everybody say, it's messy.
It's messy.
Yeah, come on. And it's a choice. So we have to make a choice of what are we going to do. We're going to have to make a choice here. And we have growth track here. And at 12:30 today, I want to invite you. If you've never been to what we call 101, now, for those of you that are new to school, I had to learn this. 101 is where you start. Unfortunately, when I went to college, I was before that. Come on, I didn't even make 101. I was like in 12, okay? That's where I had to start. I wish I was joking. But 101 is where it starts, where we're going to help you find your gift. We're going to help you find out what's inside of you so you can be a part of what God's doing, be an active and growing part of God's plan. And we're going to introduce you to this glorious mess and make a choice to be there. So today at 12:30, right afterwards, they're going to feed you. Come on, somebody. So if you were just sitting here right now, some of you are thinking about lunch. I just solved your problem. And so you can go and discover your gifting and learn what it means to be a part. And then Pastor Nick's going to tell you more about Growth Track in just a little bit here. But we're going to have to make a choice. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. And this is talking about a new life with Christ. And he's saying, listen, we stopped evaluating others with a human point of view. See, I see people with a human point of view. I see Jesus with a human point of view. And what he's saying, because you have new life, because you got a fresh start with Jesus, where y'all at that got a fresh start with Jesus? Yeah, because of that, now the old is gone, the new has come, and we don't see things in the natural anymore. We see things in the spiritual. So what I'm inviting you to do is see things different today with a fresh view here, fresh start. And then in 2 Corinthians 5:18, and all of this is a gift from God who brought, back to himself through Christ, and God has given this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave this wonderful message of reconciliation. This is awesome. It's about to get good. See, he doesn't just want us to sit and be entertained or receive a lecture. He now gives us something to do. It's reconciling. That word reconciled means bring to a zero balance. And he wants us, because all of the things you owe Jesus Christ because of the sins you did and the ones done to you, you couldn't pay for them. But Jesus did. He brought it to a zero balance. Come on, somebody. And because he did that for you, now he says, now I want you to go do that for somebody else. See, we don't look now with a human point of view. We got to look with a different point of view because Jesus Christ has set us free. Are you getting a new perspective today? See, there's a perspective. There's something God's doing in us and through us here that is just so, so awesome. So let me just give you four things about Jesus' church. Four things. Here we go. God is committed to his church. God is committed to his church. It's his idea. Matter of fact, he's coming back for his church, not for you as an individual. That, see, when you get that perspective, something changes. Oh, he's coming back for his church, not for me. Oh, and then the devil hates the church. He hates everything to do with the church. He hates everything to do with it represents Jesus. And then check this out. Christians need the church. Remember, group project, accountability to pursuit of God. We need one another. The world is waiting for the church. The world's waiting for us. They're waiting for us. They're not our enemy. The devil is the enemy. The world's not our enemy. People in the world aren't our enemy. The devil's the enemy. He wants to steal and kill and destroy. And the devil doesn't mind if we go to church as long as we don't become the church. Yeah, you can go all you want. Just don't become anything. Yeah, just consume. Just stay. It's all good. Just keep them at a distance. Smile. Pretend like you're happy. No. We're going to move beyond that because God's doing something new, a fresh perspective. That's what he's doing in us and with us and through us. So now I want you to see what happens in church life. Okay? I want you to see it. Okay? And how do we do it? We, at Bridge City Church, we gather to grow. Matter of fact, let's say this all together. I think it would do us good. Okay? Come on now. You ready for this? We gather to grow. We give and we go to make all. How does God get glory? When we're gathering in, growing, giving, and going. That's what we want for your life. That's really what we want for your life. Yeah, we want to gather you into the family of God. The family of God. Now, as soon as I mention we gather into the family of God, we get different thinking. Again, when I think of family, I'm going to say it really clear. I think of family, I think of loyalty, faithfulness, people who have my back, people who believe the best in me, people who push me to be better. Again, we have dysfunctional thoughts with family. We have dysfunctional thoughts. So I'm gathering into the family. In Ephesians 2, it talks about you were far away, but now you're up close. You are members of God's family. What's so big about family? I believe that family is what God has designed to help heal a broken world. Amen. I thought you'd get excited about that. I don't know. I really did. I got to stop writing applause on my notes. I just say applause here. Listen, it's God's design. He created family because he's a father. Now that we have 5 kids, a couple of them married, a couple of grandkids, I'm going to tell you this. Nothing's better than when all the kids are together. When all of them are together. But let me let you in on a secret. It doesn't matter to me how well or how poor they're doing. We're together. I want you to catch this. And if God is really a father in heaven, he's not up in heaven going, well, I love these ones over here, but you? And many of us come together like this, and we think, well, God tolerates me, but he loves those other ones. No, it don't matter how good my kids are doing. It doesn't matter how well they're doing or succeeding or not succeeding, how well they're doing here or there. It just matters that we're all together. Right. And we're being gathered into something great. That's how God thinks of us. That's why we don't neglect the getting together. Right. We don't, and it is messy. And when we meet Jesus Christ, we become part of the family, and then we get baptized. Last week, as Nate said earlier, 20 people here at White Oak. I'm trying to get my one church in 4 locations. Lord Jesus, help me. I got 4 kids. You know, it's like there was 37 people got baptized last week. And people say, "Oh, Pastor Rick, it seems to be all about the numbers. It's all about the numbers to you." No, it's all about making heaven bigger. Right. Yeah, like I thought that was our goal, yeah. To make heaven big and hell small. Totally different, right? Totally different, yeah. Numbers matter. Numbers only matter if you don't have a number. They matter, come on. Right. If you got yours, it's like, ah, man, no, man. We're being gathered into the family of God. He starts with everyday, ordinary people like us here. And then we grow to our full potential. We grow to our full potential. Love this verse in Ephesians 4. It says, the gifts Christ gave to the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teacher. People come to me. They say, Pastor Rick, you think you're like God's gift to the church. I am. Pastor Nick is too. Come on, somebody. I got chapter and verse for that. Come on, somebody. There's people in the room right now just made a choice. I ain't never coming back here again. It's like, come on. No. No, I want you to track this. He gave gifts, okay, to you, but why? He gave gifts to equip you to do work. Equip literally means make fit, prepare, wholeness, making fully qualified. It's like setting a bone, insert, like if a bone's broken, you set the bone so it heals right. That's what we do here. But not just the pastors, that's what everybody here, when you're a part of the church, that's what we do. We help broken bones mend right in the body. You with me? Then that it has the same meaning in the Greek, because it was written in Greek, of fishing nets that tore apart and how you mend the nets and make them useful again. Jesus is in to getting you to be functioning in your usefulness and grow to your full potential. That's because God sees so much more inside of you than even you see in you. Now you gotta catch that. God sees so much inside of you. He sees so much in each and every one of you. And the big deal is if we can get you to see yourself the way God sees you, you're going to go to a whole new level. Come on. That's what we do. We help restore these things. So our responsibility is not to make you happy. I already covered that. We are going to irritate you. But not only irritate you, our job is to irritate the hell out of you.
Yes. Say it again.
Say it again. Is this clear to you today? Come on, somebody. How many of y'all know you come to church, you still got some of that stuff in you? And our job's trying to get it far from you. So we're going to irritate you. It's going to rub you the wrong way. But it's to help you get to do the work of the ministry. Here's a revelation for you. Pastor Nick nor I can meet all your needs. His name is Jesus. I can't. I gave up that 20 years ago. But I can help get you around people that are growing to their full potential and go into growth track in a couple weeks. And you're going to write it because you're going to make a choice. I'm going to be at growth track. Unless you make a choice, it isn't going to happen. I'm going to see what happens that day. There just might be a nice day, you know. Might be a nice day, Pastor. Yeah, it's a beautiful day to go to growth track. I'm still looking for the perfect day. When it rains too hard, people say, oh, it's raining. It's nice outside. Well, it's nice. Yeah, come on. It's to work, to have equal commitment here. how we grow is to stop being selfish here. It's messy. Acts 2:42, Pastor Nick's favorite verse here. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals and to prayer. How many of y'all know when you start feeding people, it gets messy? You should see this place. In about an hour from now after you leave, especially after communion day, little crackers all over the floor. Come on, it's messy. People are messy. You start feeding everybody, it gets messy. It gets like, have you ever been to a big dinner and there's that person that like fills their plate so full and they're just like, they're just consuming their... Have you ever seen that happen? And does it irritate you? If it doesn't irritate you, you just might be that person. Okay, I'm just telling you right now. Just trying to help you. You might, woo, that's me. Okay, just a thought. I'm just thinking out loud here. I'm just thinking, trying to help you. But it's messy. But you got to make a choice because it's God's plan that we're growing people. And we experience groups. And we experience family in groups and teams. And that's why, listen, I'm going to be... It's not about you having your seat. It's about people far from God getting a seat. And I'm telling you here today, this is Pastor Rick, and I love you, and God has a plan for your life. We need to start a third worship time here. No, I'm serious. We have to. Now, the people on the group project that are doing everything, they're like, oh, sweet Jesus. Come on. They're like, oh, my goodness, we're going to have more work to do. And all the people that are, like, trusting the people in charge of the group project are going, like, so glad they're here. So this is what we need you to do. I need you at 12:30 to go to Growth Track 101. I need you to find your gifting. I need you to get on team. No, I need you to get on team. Not, listen, you're like, oh, I want to get on a team and enhance my life. No, let's get on a team and let's grow to our full potential and stretch a little bit. Are you with me? That's why I need you to do that, because there's people far from God that need what you have. Would you get on a team? If you're not on the team, would you get on one for me? Listen, there's people that don't have a number yet, and it matters to them. And the group project can't be done by just the people in charge of every group. It takes all of us. It takes us working together. Are you with me? Right. Would you take a step with us and grow to your full potential and experience family in a group and on a team? If you want your needs met, the best way to do it is get on a team. They'll know your name. I'm trying to help you. Acts 2:43. Look what happened as they did this. A deep sense of awe came over them all. And they did lots of miracles. How many of y'all know we still serve a miracle working God? Come on, somebody. Come on. Do you believe that? And all the believers met together in one place, and they shared everything they had. It took a choice. They had to make a choice. They couldn't neglect this together. And then they sold their property and possessions, and they shared money with those in need. That's right, money. I knew you were going to bring up money. Well, if you knew it, I didn't want to disappoint you. No, I'm serious. Come on. It's going to take money. I'm so glad people that came before you gave money so you could experience Jesus. Are you with me? It's going to take money. It's going to take sacrifice. They worshiped together in the temple each day, 46, and met in homes. It got messy. But they gave faithfully and sacrificially. We give of ourselves. We give of our time, and we give... Man, some of you, I'm just telling you, if you see yourself the way God sees you, you're giving of your time, giving of yourself sacrificially to watch something great happen. So we give money. We give our time. Natalie and I guess it was 2 weeks ago or 10 days ago or so, we, for our connection group, our small group, we made a big pot of spaghetti sauce. Now, we didn't just empty jars in there. My wife's all Italian. We don't do it that way. So we start putting all these ingredients in there. Some crushed tomatoes and some puree and some paste. And then we put garlic. Lots of garlic. I don't believe you can ever have enough garlic. And then I do what I always do. Say, baby, just put a little bit of that garlic behind your ears. Come on, somebody. I'm still waiting for a perfume for women, just garlic scent. It's an idea. But we put some garlic in there and oregano and basil and bay leaf and then just heated it all up. Just kept stirring it. Then we know what we did. We put a little bit of salt and pepper. Then we put a little bit more oregano. Then a little bit more basil. A little bit more garlic. Come on, somebody. And stirred it up and heated it up. And pretty soon, every ingredient lost itself into the whole. The garlic didn't jump out the pot and say, "Nah, ain't doing sauce today." And the tomatoes didn't say, "I want to be a whole tomato. I don't want to be a crushed tomato." As each part lost its own identity for the whole and began sacrificing itself for the whole, it became something beautiful. Beautiful. No, I want you to catch. But every part had to lose itself. As a matter of fact, everything we put into that sauce became even better. The meatballs, and the mild sausage, and the hot sausage. And the veal. And about 6 pork chops. Anything that gets in the sauce gets better. So when people come here, if they'll just get into the sauce, come on, somebody. It's life-changing. It's all about the sauce. I'm convinced you could put a hot dog in there and it would taste better. I'm convinced. Now, well, you know, I never do that. All I want is myself a loaf of Italian bread, Mancini's. Come on, somebody. This is the only time I don't want a stick of butter. I just want to rip off that bread, and when Natalie's not looking, I just dip it in there. And then I go over to the sink like a ravenous dog. So when we talk about giving of ourselves, faithfully giving of ourselves, what are we doing? We're creating a place where people can come in and get a part of our sacrifice, our growth, our gathering together. God's heating us up because he wants us to see something new. Are you in the right place today? Come on, somebody. And, okay, I'm going to, one more verse, and or two more verses. Pastor, one verse, two verse, you know. Acts 2, that last one. Yeah, that's it. Perfect, man. So this, track me here. They followed a daily discipline of worship in the temple. We don't have temples now. We're the temple of the Holy Ghost. So we worship here. And then meals at, and every meal was a celebration, exuberant and joyful. Are you tracking? And as they praised God, people in general liked what they saw. We go into our world because people like what they see. They don't look at us and go, "Oh, that's church." We don't become oversaved. We don't become just useful, just selfish. No, people like what they saw. And every day their number grew as God added to those who were saved. I'm going to explain this word saved in just a minute. What I'm trying to get you to see is as you go into your workplace, your home, your community, your apartment complex, people like what they see. And they say, "I don't know what it is, but I want some of that." Where'd you get that sauce at? I'm going to tell you where I got it. Bridge City Church sauce. Come on, somebody. Extra garlic, basil, oregano. It's all of us together. Yeah. We get bread first Sunday of every month when we do communion. Did you hear? Are you getting a new perspective? If you heard something today that just helped you with a new perspective, even reminded something of you, what you knew all along, would you just stand to your feet with me? Just stand to your feet. Wow, Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord. Lord, I just thank you, Father, for this great group of people. And I just pray right now, God, you would help us open our eyes that we would see the full hope of our calling. Lord God, help us understand who you are, why you are. Lord God, help us understand what you're doing, Lord. Open our eyes, God, that we would see your church with a fresh perspective. And for all the people today that are going to go at 12:30 and learn what it means to have a relationship with you and become an active and growing part, thanks, God, for doing that. You do. You add to it, Lord. God, thanks for doing it, Lord. Thanks for a great, great group of people, Lord. Now, just in this moment here, I want to explain something to you. God added to those who were being saved. This is a Greek word. This Greek means salvation. It means delivered. It means God wants to touch every aspect of your life. I want to ask you a question today. Not did you attend church, but have you crossed a bridge? Have you asked Jesus Christ to be the forgiver of your past and the leader to your future? Have you asked Jesus, because of what he did on the cross, to give you a new start as an individual? That's the first step to becoming a part of Jesus' church. So if you don't have a day, a moment, or a time, you probably didn't do it. But I want to offer you today. I want to offer you today, this day. So Lord God, I pray for every person right now that wants to ask you to forgive them of their past, sins that they did and sins done to them, for forgiveness, and that they would have the power to have victory to step into their future and live for you, Lord. That they too could be saved, that you would add them. That God, you would add them to your number, Lord God. So if you're here today, and there's people right now that can hear my voice, your palms are sweaty, you're a little bit nervous, you're like, man, wow, I think it's me, but I'm not sure it's me. I want to let you know it's you. That's what we call the Holy Spirit, just maybe like tugging on your heart. So something inside saying, I never did that before, but I want to begin a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, not my good works. So if you would like to be added to Jesus' church today, that word saved, I'm going to ask you to do something really joyful. It's so heart pounding, palm sweaty, but so joyful. If you would like to be added to that, you never did that before, I just want you real simple right now. Just raise up your hand so I can pray for you. Just, if that's you today, thank you. Thank you. Just keep your hand up. Don't be shy. Thanks so much. And who else here today? Who else here today? I know there's a lot of people here today. Anybody, thank you. Just keep it up. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Very good. Just keep them up. Keep them up. Keep them up. That's it. Thank you very much. God's work. God's at work. This is God's work, not my work. Just keep them up there. That's right. Just keep it up. Lord, I thank you for every hand that's up. God, for a new beginning, Lord. Just keep it up there. Just keep it up. Lord, I thank you for every person with their hand up right now, and I pray for them, Lord, that today really would be a new beginning. So let's all just pray this prayer with these people right here, all together. Say, Father God, forgive me. I have sinned. Only by the blood of Jesus do I receive forgiveness. Lead me, Jesus, into my future as a new creation. In Jesus' name. When you pray that prayer, there's no mystical words. It's just the heart that says, Jesus, I want to be a follower of you. Now, if your hand was up, somebody is just going to come up to you right now. I know it's going to be a little awkward, but because we value you, we value people, not just numbers. We don't value, like, we value you as a person. They're going to offer to pray for you. All they're going to say is, hey, can I pray for you? Can I pray for you? So those people that are moving, move right now. Come on. There we go. Come on. And they're just going to pray for you and believe God for you. Let them move. Let them move. But they're going to do all the praying. All you need to do is just say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, thank you for this great, great day. And if you're here, this is your first time, and you got a connection card on there, you fill that out, your name, and you put on there, starting a relationship. I want Jesus Christ to be the forgiver of my past and leader to my future. Check that off. We're going to pray for you first thing tomorrow. I love you so much. You're great. Pastor Nick, I'm turning it over to you. Y'all can be seated. Let's just thank God today.